T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. 305 DGS. Kevin Kleen joins us. There's another bear. No. There's a lawsuit involving a homeless guy. This is really interesting.
I find this to be
I hadn't heard about
really
it.
Interesting.
Steve Moore asked if we were going to cover it. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And so, I mean, we talk about this all the time, being downtown and having so many homeless people and people asking for money. So, Kev, what happened?
Excuse me. Homeless man was sort of a fixture, somebody that you'd see every day driving to work if you lived in South County. He was in the off-ramp of Lindbergh and 55 for years. Police gave him over 30 tickets saying, you're in violation. They arrested him a couple of times. And Beavis Shock, the same lawyer who got rid of red light cameras, he's the lawyer of the long reach. He took a long reach on this one.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm going to represent this guy because it's in his argument, it was free speech to be out there on the exit ramp. I have a cut from Beavis in his own words, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Beavis Shock for the homeless man who won a $150,000 settlement.
The law allows, under the First Amendment, Mr. Fernandez to stand on the side of the road with a sign saying, please give me money. You can do that. This is America. He's poor.
And the argument was, you know, if you had you know, somebody running for alderman out there, and they wouldn't be ticketed, but it was just the bedraggled eyesore of a man, you know, the failure of a guy who lives under a bridge that seemed in an arbitrary way, the judge ruled that they were picking on him. So in addition to the $150,000 that will go to the homeless man, Beavis will get $138,000.
Hey, look at that.
So it pays to have a heart.
Keeps him off the street, too.
And the ruling forces the county to change some of the ordinances, correct?
Yeah, the soliciting ordinance is what they're going after, which said you had to have a solicitor's license to be homeless and say, can you help me out? So that's going to be rewritten. And, you know, you could argue the other side of this, though. And I wish I had seen Beavis today. I'd say, in a way, is it possible you hurt this man because he doesn't have the shame of being arrested all the time and saying, well, by golly, I just better go legitimate and get a job.
Yeah. He's a baller now.
It might open the door for more people to say, I have a constitutional right to be a beggar. And it gives sort of a respectability to what has, through history, been discouraged as a shameful thing, you know, the bottom of the rung of society. But now we're saying, oh, it's free speech.
I don't wish anything ill on this man or anyone, but selfishly, I would love to see something like this go to the Supreme Court just because I'm a legal nerd. And I think it's a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a constitutional First Amendment right to beg?
Well, it is a spoken thing where you say, can you help me out? You know, it's free speech or it's speech. And the argument was that it's a public safety violation. But they said, hey, come on. The judge said, you know, there's other activities where they're raising money for muscular dystrophy with the firemen with their boots.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if somebody is protesting with picket signs off to the side of the road, some political issue, they don't clamp down on them.
Mm. Both things are true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, there are limitations. You couldn't walk in here and do it. You couldn't walk into someone's home and do it. You're trespassing.
Yeah,
but
you couldn't stand in the on the off-ramp or in front of the vehicles. But standing on the side of the road.
You know what always fascinates me? Tony, where we go out of here onto Highway 70 West, there is the guy with the fake limp and his female friend.
Yeah,
how do you know it's a fake limp?
Because you, when he walks I've off, seen, he doesn't limp.
Yeah.
I've been there at Quentin's
many times. I've seen the...
He's a method actor.
I've seen when the shift is over and they all get together and leave.
There used to be a guy...
I've seen him run.
My law office used to be in the old chemical building. And there was a guy, I think his name was Willie, but I'm not sure. Kevin, he was a fixture for years. This, probably my age, black dude, who was like Eddie Murphy, like in Trading Places. He was outside the chemical building every day, and he just looked like a puppet who someone took the strings. He was just down on the ground and could barely move, and his limbs were all twisted. And then, swear to God, every night at 5 p.m., whoop, he'd stand up, he'd straighten himself off, and he'd go down to Dooley's Burger Pub and have a beer with us. He was perfectly fine. But he would just do that thing, and people would give him money. But anyway, these two, here's what fascinates me. They are there 8 hours a day minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they go every single day. They're doing their thing. That's called a job.
Yeah.
When you show up every day at the same place for money, that's a job. So I wonder, do they make more money than they would at McDonald's? Is it just more pleasant for them? They're out there in the heat. They're out there in the snow. I just find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, it's usually drugs or drink. And I wonder if they have the same feeling that we do. As much as we hate our job sometime, at the end of the day, you get that little endorphin feeling like, hey, I got through it. And anybody in any job. But, you know, the homeless people are kind of robbed of that. But maybe they do have that feeling like, hey, I made $48 today. Maybe they get the same thrill.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah. And you do wonder, I always say that there's a difference between homeless people and then there's panhandling. There are people who, like you said, they're on a shift and they could be going home to an apartment for all I know because they're showing up to the same place every day.
There was a homeless guy with cologne once that I would run into.
With cologne.
Aftershave. And I thought, wait a minute, smelled better than me.
But then you then you see people here downtown who are sleeping on the sidewalk. And I have very different emotions towards a situation like that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, it's not like all their stories are the same.
Exactly.
And there's one solution.
Exactly.
Yeah, Kev, you're running around out there as much or more as we are. Do you feel like downtown's coming back much from COVID? It still feels pretty ghost towny to me.
Yeah, when they get rid of the concrete barriers, then I'll feel better. They were put in place last August to prevent the drag racers, and it reduces four lanes down to one.
Yeah,
and it just feels like we're under siege. Like, you know, you expect to see General Grant or somebody nearby.
It is a weird vibe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Kevin, what do you think of the scooters? I'm just curious.
I don't know. It's so millennial. If you can't walk it or you don't have a car, I don't know. But it looks like people are having fun.
They are having fun, but I keep seeing older and older groups of men like palling around together on the scooters. And I think, really, none of you has you don't have a car, you don't have money for an Uber. What's going on? They must be a blast to get out there in traffic.
Skip Weber loved riding.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
I just think of everything that didn't survive COVID. The scooters are still going strong, and that just kind of blows my mind.
I thought that would have shut them down forever,
right.
But you just don't know. All right. Good, good. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, Mary. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, a couple of things. Some of them are just panhandlers that are making a profit. I saw a really nice car drop a guy off at a quick shop. It's southwest of McCausland. And the next thing I know, this guy who gets out of this nice car looks like hell, the way he's dressed. And he starts, you know, I went over to the red box and he's, you know, begging. And I'm going, get out of here. I just saw what car you got out of. You know, it's just ridiculous. But it's also a safety issue. At these stop signs, day after day after day, not only do they leave a pile of trash, a lot of them, but it's, I mean, you got to go. The light changed. And these people sometimes are approaching your car. Some people do give them money, and the light changes, and it's short, and people are pissed, and they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a safety issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary, trust me, there are days that I mean, you guys know this. There are days I will be almost in tears and I will see someone laying on the side of the road and I'll stick a 20 in their pocket. And then there are days I'm like, damn it. I'm so sick of this and I'm so sick I can't walk one block. I mean, I go up and down.
Well, it's like Tony said, everyone's situation is different. And I think we all have like our spidey sense of this person probably actually needs help. And then I feel like whenever you feel the annoyance when you see the same guy at the same stoplight every single day, I don't think that means you're a bad person. I think that means you're human.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my brother, evidently, we learned, was homeless for about 6 months when he lived in Tucson. So that's always really gotten to me.
Yeah.
And then, Rach, the time you and I were walking out of Chris's and we saw a guy digging in the garbage can. And we had a bunch of silver dollar pancakes we didn't eat in a to-go. And he just made eye contact with Rachel. And it was clear he was like, can I have that? And so she handed it to him and he just started wolfing it down. And that, like, both of us were just like, oh, my God. Now, that guy needed help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Because no one likes being played. Remember at Union Station, that same lady with the same 3-year-old
yes.
was there every day
yes.
because they didn't have money for the bus. It's like, lady,
right.
you got me yesterday. Do I right. not look the least bit familiar to you?
Yeah.
That's when you get pissed.
Or I remember I told the story last year about the guy, like, I had my head turned, and it was a nice day. I had my window down. He was literally leaning into my truck with his arms resting on my window. And asking, like, his head was inside my truck.
That's never okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. 321 DGS. We have the priest and rabbi coming up for the first time ever on KMOX. It's a little segment I made up, almost 20 years ago. We have Rabbi Shmuel Greenwald, and we have Monsignor Ted from ICD, and we will talk about religion. We'll talk about world events. We'll talk about politics. We'll take your phone calls. It'll be great to see the guys.
One of the most popular segments that has stood the test of time.
Yeah.
It's always been something the audience loves. It's always a great conversation, and I'm really looking forward to it.
You can tweet us at RachelZ1120 or at TonyColombo971 with your questions for the priest and the rabbi. We also have a little comment section going on Facebook if you'd like to put your question there.
We also have a phone.
We do have that. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem to work very well. Hint. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. I'm like a thirsty girl. You know, I'm like, does your phone work? Have you checked it? Because, Tone, what's the story about the football coach?
Oh, okay. So there is a, have you seen the video?
There's not.
Okay. So there is a little, it's an 8-second clip of what appears to be a youth football practice, and it's a tackling drill. And these kids are super young, and it has sparked a fierce debate of whether or not it is something that is appropriate for these kids or if it's child abuse. I just showed Dave.
Oh, my Lord.
Let me see.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And it's a very basic football drill that we did.
Oh, my goodness.
But it is completely inappropriate
to describe
for the age.
Two young kids, they look like they're maybe eight.
They look younger than that.
They go running into the circle, and one kid puts his helmet into the other kid's face mask and just levels him.
Yeah, one is a ball carrier, and the other one is the defender, and it's a tackling drill. And it's, first of all, if you want to really break it down, the tackling technique is terrible. It's leading with the head. It's helmet to helmet contact. And, you know, and some people are saying, look, you know, it's football. Football, there are tackling. That's not a good tackle. That kid needs to be taught differently, but it's still football. And other people are saying, are likening it to child abuse. You can't watch it. You can't be a human and watch it and not cringe when you see this kid just get destroyed.
That kid could literally have died.
Yeah. And I played football in high school. I love football. I would be completely supportive of my son playing football, but kids at this age should not be, even if the technique is right, even if you do everything right, these kids are too young to be participating in that type of football. And, which has been great, Pop Warner, USA Football have all come out and said, this is exactly the wrong thing to do. This is counter to all of our policies and guidelines. Children that age should not be having contact in any way. Shouldn't be tackling, let alone the way that this one went down with the helmet-to-helmet contact. But it's an interesting debate. You know, there's those traditionalists that are like, football people are, it's football, it's okay. But it's just impossible to defend. It's impossible to watch this and not realize something's wrong.
With all of the things we're learning about how football players' brains are affected by this kind of contact, why would you want to start a child on contact like that any earlier than you would? I hate to even say need to, because it's a game and you never need to do it, but my goodness.
Yeah, but you...
Why open them up to something that early?
Yeah, you don't play... You know, when you're playing youth hockey... When you're kids, you don't hit, the checking, the physicality is not there until later when you're more developed and older. And it's the same thing with football. It doesn't mean the end of football that kids don't have to tackle each other. It's the right thing to do. And yeah, I everybody should check it out. And if you have thoughts, like Rach said, tweet us at Tony Colombo 971 at Rachel Z 1120.
Man, that video's hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know they look,
but I like the reaction. I like
sports is full of flukes, and this is kind of a fluke, unless this one kid is just a jerk. But that happens.
Yeah. And I like to see Pop Warner and USA Football and all these governing bodies coming out and just like.
I would like to see what happened right after.
No nonsense.
I would like to see if the coach said, okay, everyone gather around. This is exactly what you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't ever.
Well, they shouldn't even have
ever,
been.
They shouldn't be put in that position.
They shouldn't be doing that drill. They're way too young to be doing that tackling drill. But you're right. I wonder what happened. I would like to know what happened in the seconds afterwards just because of the way it was done.
Good news, bad news on masks.
Okay.
There's a group of anti-mask people who say that they're going to start wearing masks now because, anyone want to hazard a guess?
I saw the answer.
Because there's a new conspiracy theory that you can catch a mysterious protein from a vaccinated person that could kill you. So COVID-19,
but it doesn't kill the vaccinated person.
No, COVID-19.
What an interesting protein.
You don't need a mask because it's a hoax,
right?
But if someone's been vaccinated, they're carrying this mystery protein, probably from Bill Gates, that you could catch.
Yeah.
So now anti-vaxxers are wearing masks, ironically,
to protect themselves,
to protect them from the vaccinated
People who are spewing the killer protein.
You got it.
It
doesn't kill them.
You got it.
I don't think I do.
Well, I mean, props to whoever came up with that piece of misinformation. It might actually be a little helpful in the long run. So,
should have thought of that a long time
ago. Thank you. Yeah.
3:35 in the dot, DGS. Is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. I don't know if you guys saw this. DarkSide, the Russian-based hackers, who straight up, they're just a criminal enterprise. They don't produce anything.
Right.
They go to hardworking people, organizations, companies, cities, countries, and they blackmail them.
Yeah.
They said today, oh, that pipeline hack, that wasn't us. That was this radical offshoot of us. These guys are crazy. And we don't even mess with them. How bad is it when professional Russian hackers, it's like when Al-Qaeda is like, oh, that's not us. Those are the crazy Al-Qaeda guys. We had to kick them out. Come on.
Well, I love how they initially said, like, look, guys, we were not trying to ruin society. We were just trying to make some money.
Trying to make some money.
So, this is our bad, but just so you know, we didn't have bad intentions for everybody. Shut up. Just don't say anything.
I know.
Oh, now I feel better about the gas shortage because your heart was in the right place when it came to all of society.
It's tough out there for a pimp.
You would think it would be like a
badge of honor.
Yeah, like a flagpole like moment.
Right, we
like,
did.
Hey, look, we have integrity. Okay.
That's kind of what
you think.
Saying.
I know you think we're out there just hacking everybody, but.
Okay, Rach, help me unpack this one. I know it was on your show prep yesterday.
Yes.
I didn't see it, but as I understand it, on the SNL with Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
There was a skit that was based on Gen Z, and a bunch of people were saying slang that Gen Z says, but then that people complained and said that is African American Vernacular English, AAVE. And no one in that skit was a person of color. So you're using these terms and words that were coined by African Americans in their vernacular English, and Gen Z has appropriated them, and you double appropriated them because you had white actors doing this skit. Am I right?
Yeah. So slang terms like bestie, no cap, go off king, sis, gang gang, and it's the cultural appropriation for me. These are all things that you frequently hear on TikTok, and you hear young kids saying it's like the slang of their generation. And people are saying, well, it's not Gen Z slang. It's African American Vernacular English. And you need to credit the correct people when you use terms like this. Well, it has leaked over into how kids talk online. So, yeah, people do think of it as the Gen Z language or TikTok language or whatever. The funny thing is Michael Che wrote the sketch, and Michael Che is a black man. So he was a little surprised to hear that he was culturally appropriating when he wrote the sketch. Now, the sketch was terrible. It was a bad episode, and that sketch was not funny at all. But I knew what they were trying to do, and not for one second did I think that anyone was trying to be disrespectful or racist.
Yeah, it wasn't race. Yeah, just because it
had
funny,
nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do with race whatsoever. It was just, I mean, kids say things like, okay, but go off, or they say things like, they call each other sis. And yeah, I'm sure it did originate in the black community, but it has just become the way younger people talk now.
Let me say something incredibly 56-year-old white, cisgendered, heterosexual. What happened to, we're a melting pot and we do imitate, borrow, pick up things from other cultures. What happened to that? Why is it so terrible now?
It's not even
borrowing. I understand Rachel Dolezal. I get that.
Yeah.
But whatever happened to, I'm sure that every slang thing comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody's the first person to say cool.
Look, I appropriate every radio person I've ever heard, whether I mean to or I don't. You just assimilate things and you spit them back out.
Well, the answer is gatekeeping. You have people who, for whatever reason, and I think maybe sometimes they have a point, but a lot of times it's just gatekeeping. It's saying, no, you don't get to do this. I get to do it, but you don't get to do it because you're not a part of this group.
Okay, real question. Is there anything that the gatekeepers can't do? Is there anything that a person of color, a trans person, whatever the person is who's saying, hey, this is my area, is there anything that they can't do?
Yeah, I mean, I would say appropriate another culture by that logic.
What about white culture? Do we have a culture? Do we have anything that can be appropriated? Real question.
That is a good question.
The argument is, and this is, I mean, these are not my thoughts and feelings. I don't really care that much about any of this. But the argument is that white people don't really have culture.
Really?
Well, because being white is, that's encompassing a lot of different cultures.
It's a little insulting.
Right, but you couldn't say, like,
I can track my family literally to 10, 20.
Right, and that culture would be like Scottish culture. It wouldn't be white people culture. Now, I guess if you wanted to gatekeep wearing kilts, you would have that right. If you wanted to live your life like that, and you wanted to plant those flags, and you wanted to have those arguments,
because the more people wear kilts, the more I think that that is a homage to my background.
Right. And that's how you feel. And I think there are a lot of people from different cultures who, like, for example, a couple years ago, the big thing was the white girl wore like a Chinese dress to prom. And lots of people, lots of Chinese people said, like, I think she looks beautiful. And I think that she appreciates the culture. And I love that she
loves
the dress.
That's why they make and sell dresses. That's a very positive thing, a very positive piece of their culture to share that and have that accepted and blended into society at large. Isn't that, like you said, isn't that the melting pot? Isn't that what it's all about, that we bring our cultures together and we create an American society
now,
where we...
And I think there is... I think most of us can tell the difference between, okay, this girl wanted to wear a beautiful dress to prom and she's playing homage. And then it would be...
Blackface.
Yes.
Or she dressed as like a geisha for Halloween and she's being disrespectful and horrible. That's a level of cultural appropriation.
Which I think most of us see.
Exactly, which we should condemn. But I think we've kind of lost the thread a little bit in going, you can't do anything unless you're a part of that culture. That kind of gets out of control pretty quickly.
I mean, when do we get to food? When does that happen? We're like,
we're there.
You can't have lasagna.
Oh, didn't you see the thing?
Irish.
You're not Garfield.
Didn't you see the thing where they're screaming? They were screaming at the people who had a Mexican restaurant, a taqueria, but the person who owned it was white.
Yeah.
And they were they had a bullhorn and they're screaming that everyone needs to leave because the person who owns this is white and it's cultural appropriation, and I don't know. I really, really try. I really do. And I've become much more woke than I was because I have woke to certain things. And I'd be happy to talk about them at some point if anyone cares, because I think it's important. Things that I never thought were racist, which I now go, I get it. But is there an end to any of this?
Like, you have to believe that the melting pot idea is evil. If you subscribe to that line of thinking, then putting cultures together in the same area and living together and the blending of those cultures that will just automatically happen because
I'm open to being wrong, and you can tell me I'm wrong. But when you say diversity is our strength.
Yes.
And then you follow that up with, but don't you dare ever do, say, wear, use anything from my culture. That seems a little less diverse.
I agree. And I think a good amount of the time when people speak out against cultural appropriation, it is because they don't want their culture to be made a mockery of.
Agreed.
Which I agree.
And I think that's 100% valid.
Yeah. Sure.
But when it's an appreciation, let's have a conversation rather than just automatically going, you're disrespectful, you're wrong. Well, I think that maybe they were trying to be respectful. Or they have an appreciation. It's not cultural appropriation. It's cultural appreciation. Now, if it's still offensive, let's have a conversation and figure this out together. But let's just not lump everyone into, like, disrespectful, horrible, you know. Because that's really dangerous to go down that path. And you're right. It doesn't promote diversity.
So it doesn't promote anything good. Because the people who are being called out are not going to say, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. That's so helpful. When you're being canceled, it's one thing for someone to pull you aside and go, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people do that in my life. I have several African-American friends who have said to me, I heard you the show today, and you said this. Let me give you my perspective. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I can't believe Dave Glover said this. Let's pick it. Let's cancel. Because when you do that, it doesn't make you want to embrace those thoughts. You immediately get on your defensive. You get your hackles up.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we ever understand each other? And
if we're not allowed to ever do anything wrong or ask questions.
Yeah.
So Carol just messaged me and wanted to make the point that part of cultural appropriation is about making money from other cultures and those cultures not getting respect or recognition. I do think that's
like
part of it, too. Like that, or maybe like the taqueria situation. They were probably going about it in the wrong way by screaming through bullhorns like, these people are white, don't give them their money. It's more like, hey, did you know that this actually is not owned by a family that knows how to cook these foods? Like, I think you do that more by word of mouth rather than by an organized boycott.
I don't know. I don't know why you would need to do anything about a business that's owned by a Caucasian that sells tacos.
Maybe that was a bad example.
I mean, I don't see why and how that's wrong.
But when you bring up people like, say, the Kardashians who do appropriate black culture and do everything short
no,
of
blackface. No, I get
blackface,
that. I'm not saying that
they're making
not
money
cultural
off
appropriation.
Of it. Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying that I think we've drawn the line way stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
and,
Rick Bayless.
And that's why I just said I probably used the wrong example.
Rick Bayless, not our boss, is a guy in Chicago who has Frontera Grill. He's as white as white gets. And he is a master Mexican chef.
Mm-hmm.
One of the absolute best. Should he shut down Frontera Grill? Should he go out of business?
Right.
Because he's not of Mexican Latino
yeah.
descent?
Yeah.
I just think we've drawn the line in a really dumb place.
We can see when you're mocking a culture or you're making fun of or or insulting.
Or ripping them. It off and saying, hey, I'm Khloe Kardashian, and when I do this, isn't it sexy and cool, and I'm going to sell this to you? But when black women have been doing it for, decades, it hasn't been, I'm going to turn around and make it sexy and cool. I understand the criticism that goes into something like that. Like, turning it around for a profit.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think with most things, most people see the line. And there have been many times when I have misjudged the line and had someone educate me and I go, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong on this. I thought the line was here. It's 5 yards back. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that every time I'm going to just get on my knees and kowtow and beg you to forgive me. Sometimes someone like me needs to push back.
We need to open up the conversation
yes.
more.
Conversation, give and take, back and forth. Understanding, compromise. It's a lost art.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's frowned upon. It's weakness. It's manipulation.
And it's supposed to be our strength.
We're all just going to be standing stick still,
yeah.
not moving and not talking before long because we're all going to be terrified. We're going to be canceled. And we're not even going to understand why we're being canceled.
You know she's happy as can be. You know
354 DGS.
So.
Priest and the Rabbi coming up for the first time on KMOX in the next hour.
Sorry.
It's okay. You're just mixing.
Mm-hmm. I would like to introduce you all to my new DJ set.
COVID just got serious.
Okay.
Is this Chick-fil-A, Dave?
Yep.
Oh, no. I don't know this.
There's a sauce shortage.
Brace yourself.
I just broke my computer.
I thought you were going to say your effing phone.
I did, too.
No. Didn't you?
I could feel it.
It was in your mouth.
No, it was not.
I just broke my
computer.
Because I almost said sauce, that, you're right. Because I did. I almost said phone.
Yeah,
but then I changed it to computer.
What's that?
Tell me about it.
Oh yeah, it's right here. Ooh, it's right in front of my face. That's kind of lucky. Chick-fil-A is facing a sauce shortage. As a result, they're only giving customers one dipping sauce cup per item order at many of its 2,600 restaurants. It has an industry-wide supply chain issue.
So we don't have chicken, and we don't have sauce.
Mm. And we have a ketchup packet shortage.
Right.
So that's a giant problem for everyone. I don't know what to do.
I don't either.
These times we're living in, they're hardly bearable anymore. You take away the Chick-fil-A and it's the final straw.
I hate when you can't get enough sauce.
You've been battling Jack for a long time.
Yes. Yes. And I don't want anything for free. I'm happy to pay for it. And...
You just sounded drunk. You sound like drunk.
I don't want anything for free.
Yeah.
I got money.
I'm not your charity case. I'm not a charity case.
Look, there's Easter Seals, I'm just looking to buy some sloths.
Look.
Yeah. Sloths.
There's a ranch shortage. I'll pay $10 for a packet. I still want 15 packets.
Kiss it.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.